We dedicate our shir, as always, L'zecho Nishma HaKadoshim, Shenoflo HaKadosh Hashem, on October 7th, and unfortunately our soldiers who continue to pass away, as we had this week, the terrorist attacks that continue, unfortunately, the Cholim of Klal Yisrael, and of course, the hostages of Rabbanu Shalom Shev, Rachmanos on us, and free them, B'mheiru V'yameinu, as we dedicated last week, but I'll dedicate again, Darun Peretz's son, the Peretz family, Daniel Peretz, who died al Kiddush Hashem, and continues to inspire us. Rabbi Peretz had a beautiful video. Maybe we'll discuss a little bit if there are no questions later. Really just an absolutely and positively amazing inspiration to us. And it should be Zeicha that he also should have more nechama than he knows. There should be more nechama in his life, and his son should come to an absolute Jewish burial, Mirtz Hashem, very, very soon. So I've related this story before, however, this week I have the Mar Makomas on it. I may have related it before, is really what I should say. It's a famous Rav Zilberstein. If I were to pick my top 10 Rav Zilbersteins, this is one of my favorites. This doesn't mean that I know it, you know, anything, but I read a lot of Rav Zilberstein Shilas. And I think that when you look into the lumdus of the Shila, I think that you'll understand the goyness of Rav Zilberstein. A lot of people discount Rav Zilberstein. Oh, you know, he just likes to write the books. First of all, he doesn't write any of the books. All that is not Rav Zilberstein. It's students of Rav Zilberstein, so he has nothing to do with it. Certainly, I don't even know if he knows there were books in English. but he doesn't just come up with stam answers, right? He has lumdus, and I think this is a great example. This is also a great example. It happens to be in our parsha, we have the word mana. So we'll see. This has nothing to do with anything, but it's going to talk about the mana of something, a meal. And it's hard to believe that this is a true story, because as Jews... Baruch Hashem, this is the difference between Jews and Gentiles. And hopefully this is just the story, without giving you the answer. The story is a way that you should live your life. If this really happened, I'm sure it did, because apparently it was a based in case. It's truly, truly unbelievable. Okay, this is a chasana. I had a chus of going to a chasana this week. This is a chasana. And at the chasana, we're going to give round numbers. 300 people, right? I went to the chasana hall, and I rented out the hall. I hired a caterer, and I said to the caterer, there's going to be 300 people there, so obviously make me 300 manot. So he makes 300 manot. Lo and behold, as he's preparing the manot in the manot preparer, whatever, he's preparing the manot, Mistama, just for argument's sake, he's not the caterer of the hall. It's a hall that you rent out. He's making the manot, he makes the manot, and he brings 300 manot. And as he's preparing the manot, he realizes that there's a kid outside, and his chef, the caterer, this is close to my heart, right? Because I'm a caterer. So the caterer sees the chef is wasting his time outside. He says, "What are you doing outside?" He goes, "Oh, there's a kid. He's going through the garbages." He says, "Ay, Nebuch, a Jewish kid. This is in Israel." So he goes to the kid. He says, "No, tagidi ma bidu ma koepo." He's very embarrassed. He says, "Inan ochel, inan ochel, bye bye." And he knows if I go, he goes to chasna, everybody throws out the food all the time. Maybe I can bring home something for my family. He feels terrible, and he says, "Today I yom hulada shechayo. Today's your birthday." He goes, "I'm not just going to give you a mana from the garbage. I'm going to give you a mana that nobody even ate yet. Nobody didn't even go out to the wedding." So he says, "Nu, kama yishachab b'mishpacha." He's embarrassed. He says, "We have 10 nefashot to feed. 10 nefashot." He says, "Okay." He takes all 10, wraps them up beautifully. I'm talking about weddings, fancy steak meals, you know, the whole thing. And he says, "This is what you deserve. Go home to your family and tell them hot, beautiful meals." Shkoyach. Wedding's amazing. Wedding's over. And they go to settle up, you know, with all the pieces of paper and the receipts and everything. And he says, the guy said, "Okay, it's pretty easy math. You know, 300, I'm going to make up 300 manot cost. I don't know how much a wedding cost. Cost 300 shekel, a manah, whatever. Okay, shkoyach." And he goes, no. "Actually, it's 290 manot times 300. He says, no, I agreed to 300. What are you talking about? He says, "I'll tell you a good story." He tells him the story. And he said, "Listen, I took a risk." I don't know how this, I took a risk. And it happens to be, this is a little bit of a strange story, just to tell you from my personal experience. As a caterer, you always know to, and I think it's even a law, I think it's actually a law in Israel, you have to make 10% more of the food. Right, you have to make more food in case people show up. It's a strange law, but you always have more manot. It's hard to believe you ran out of manot. I don't know. There's one caterer in our community that whenever I go to a simcha, he never, ever, ever has leftovers, ever. And I said to him, "Don't you have to make 10% more? You have to have another piece of meat for me, you know?" "No, okay. So the shaila is like this. The shaila is, so he says, tells him the story that the poor kid, he came, this and that. And this is Mika Amchel Yisrael. So what does the Baal Simcha say to him? The Baal Simcha says, I'm paying for 300 meals. He says, no, I just told you the 290, 300. Because I know, but I want that mitzvah. I want the zchut. What a great zchus to go into the wedding of my son that I know that we paid for 10 manot. You know, I never even thought of it, but it's a nice thing to do. You know, some people, their bar mitzvah used to be that, I don't know if they do this anymore, twinning bar mitzvahs, right? Where I'm not just having my bar mitzvah, but I'm having my bar mitzvah. I think my wife, I think her bat mitzvah was with a Russian, somebody wrote it. It said, oh, and I'm also, in parentheses, I'm celebrating my bar mitzvah with Nadia Komanich, whatever, Nadia from Russia, and whatever. What a beautiful thing. So great. So of course, like any two good Jews, they get into a big fight. What's the fight about? Who's paying the tent? Who gets the zchus of paying it? Does the caterer pay it? Or does the Baal Simcha pay it? That's the question for today. What do you think?
Zilberstein loves that question. All our fights are like that.
No? Right. Rav Zilberstein loves it. He says, Mika Amchel Yisrael. Who would ever have a fight like this? What do you think? Who has the zchus? The caterer? Or the Baal Simcha? Why? We're not going to guess.
It's his food.
It's his food. Ah. Your taina is at the end of the day, it's the caterer's food.
Why is it being extra? If there was a shortage of head, then.
Good. So the one raya that you're bringing is that maybe the caterer is the caterer. When do I pay for the food? After. Now, it happens to be, this is a difference, I think, in Eretz Yisrael and in America. In America, at least in my catering company, we want everybody to pay before. We don't trust nobody. It's true that in Eretz Yisrael, this is very common that everybody pays at the end. The truth is that more of our qualified customers that we know, I'm not asking the OU, NCSY, Yachad, I'm not asking them for money. And you're right, most of them do pay afterwards. And by the way, that's bad for me, because if they complain about something, they say, oh, by the way, the cholent didn't taste so good, or they want a discount. So you're correct. So maybe clearly that means that the food is not owned by the Baal Simcha. Okay, good raya. Anybody else? Oh, good. Just to disagree with Goldberg, I like it. Yeah?
They second that he's going to get that 300, and it's his food.
Good. So the taina is that maybe it's similar, we'll get to the case in a second, but maybe it's similar to me ordering something, almanat, that I'm going to purchase it. And then I come to the store after the item has been made for me, and I come to the store, and what do I say? I get a chatamet. I don't want it anymore. Ah, it's a nobody. The guy's like, okay, but I made it for you. What are you talking about? Right? If you went, I don't know, you went to a steakhouse. They bring the steak to the table. There's nothing wrong with the steak. You say, you know what? I'll be honest with you. I didn't think this, but I'm actually full. The appetizer was, I didn't know it was such a big portion. It's not my fault it was such a big, it's your fault. Guys, like, well, we made your steak. What do you want me to do with the steak now? Okay, so that's what we have to discuss. And the truth is, the Shulchan Aruch paskens in Choshen Mishpat, the following thing, I'm giving the example, a customized suit. There's a Zach, I don't know if they have this in it, I'm sure they have it in Israel, where you can, in America, this is popular. I have a lot of friends where I look at their suit and I say, ooh, what's the brand? And when he shows me, it has his initials in it and the whole thing. You can go, a guy comes to your house, he fits you, it's the most beautiful, perfect suit. A lot of people, when they go to India or right? Yeah. But people go to the suit lady in a Hanami, but there are people who have custom fit suit. I was just making fun of one of my friends. I saw his suit really look beautiful, and then I looked inside. You get to pick the lining, and you get to pick the designer. I have another friend who lives here. He's not here now. But I have a friend who you will know very well. I think it was Yuri. I'll just say it. It's okay. It's not negative. It's not Lashon Hara. I think he used to travel a lot to India, so he once got a custom-made suit. And he said at the end, it was the funniest thing. When the guy was done, he had a big board, and he said, "Nu, pick which designer you want to be. I make for all the designers, but it's all the same suits, basically. You don't want it to be whatever the famous designers are. Hugo Boss, Yves Saint Laurent, whatever you are, Ralph Lauren, Calvin Klein." It was like funny at the end. He's like, "But that's lying. That's not." He's like, "No, I make the suit." I don't know if he really makes the suits or that. Whatever. Anyway, so if you got a custom made suit, so what am I essentially doing? I'm making it for you, but you're correct. If you presented the suit to me and I put the suit on, and the suit's like this, and I'm like, hi, it doesn't fit. The guy's like, okay, that's not my fault. You have to pay me. Of course I don't have to pay you. I ordered a custom-made suit. The guy can't come to me and go, well, your arms must have grown since I did it. No. If anything's growing, it's going to be right in this area. You know what I'm saying? It's true that sometimes you have, I'm being serious now, sometimes you have a situation where a kala will buy a dress and she plans on the best thing happening ever. She's going to lose 10 pounds or 20 pounds or worse than that, you know, or more than that, right? And what happens? She doesn't lose all the weight. So obviously the person who's tailoring the dressmaker is allowed to say, listen, I have to take it out more. It's going to cost you another $100, whatever. That's for sure. Here I got a custom-made suit, so I have to pay for it. I can't say that I don't want it anymore. A custom-made food, I can't say that. Why? So Shulchan Aruch says it specifically caused this is called a perishable item. There's nothing I could do with this item afterwards. When it comes to food, what do you want me to do with the food? I made the food already. You can't tell me now, we have this on Shabbaton sometimes. You can tell me the opposite. Of course, I always do that. I just, literally, we have two Shabbatons, the Shabbos, Sarachek and Yachad, and Sarachek, yeah, Chashav Azachim. So, right? So, Sarah happens to be Sarachek, said, oh, good news for you, we have 10 extra people coming. So that's easy for us to figure out how to, you know, make more food or whatever it might be, and maybe that's the 10% I told you about. We always make more food. But they can't tell us now that I made all the food ready. They can't say, oh, by the way, Shabbos, we're 10 less. We're 20 less. That's nice. You're still paying for it. I made the food. What do you want me to do? You could 100% say, I want you to pack that food up and I'm going to give it to poor people or I'm going to go sell it. I don't care what you do with it. But you can't go ahead and come to me and say I'm not paying for it. What's that? Oh. So that's going to be a taina in a moment. This is a good taina. The taina is going to be, well, wait a minute. As I just said to you, the custom-made suit doesn't fit. If the steak comes to my table, I once had this in a very fancy restaurant in New York. I was still dating my wife at the time. I'm now married to her. But I was dating her. And I cut into the steak. It was delicious. Oh, it's delicious. And the whole middle had a big piece of fat. I was shocked for such an expensive steak. So I called the waiter and said, listen, I'm really sorry. You know you're in trouble when you say this. I never do this. I do it all the time. I never do this, but can you make me another steak? I don't need steak with chatzi, you know, like, I don't know if you ever buy steak in the freezer section, you know, like cheapo steaks, and it says 10% water. It says, it's a word, what's the word in Hebrew? It says, you know, esrimachuz mubad, whatever, all the stuff in mubad, is that the word? I don't know. Anyway, it's got all the stuff in it. So, of course, you're right. That's going to be interesting. And that's where the Shach and the Sma pick up on this. On the Shulchan Aruch here, the Shach and the Sma both say the same thing, which is Chiddush, they both agree with each other. And he says like this. I come in with the custom suit, and I come in with the whole sob story. I don't care what it is. Doesn't matter. And I say, listen, I'm so sorry. I can't. Right? I think we discussed this a few weeks ago, right? We discussed the case of the Pesach program, right? I call now, Mamish, like, they sold my... right. And I call and I say, listen, I'm really sorry. I just heard what's going on. You know, I'm watching CNN. And basically they say all of Israel's on fire. You know, because in Lebanon and then there was a bus attack today. And I'm so scared. I can't come. I'm not coming. So what is the... Now, it happens to be, I've got to tell you this, last week everybody paid all the money. I paid 100% of the money now. So the guy says, listen, I'm really sorry for you. I feel bad for you. This is a custom-made program. do you have any idea how many people wanted your... I gave you a room. The policy is clear. You signed on the policy. You don't get your money. This is what we spoke about cancellation policies. Is that legal? Not legal. If I'm not mistaken, was it Rav Bleich? Rav Yonah Ries had an article about can you do something that's not real? There's no halacha behind it. There's no such thing as a cancellation policy, right? Can you do that? No refunds after this date? Because that's not really halachic. We passed in that probably you can. But what's the answer to the question, though? The Shach and the Sma says, but you always have to try to resell the item. So now I come to you with the terrible story about my suit. I can't afford it, whatever it is. So here's what I have to do, lahalacha. I have to try to go ahead and sell the suit to somebody else. Now, a suit's going to be really, really hard. Why? Because it was a custom-made suit. Okay, but I'm a tailor. I know I could say, listen, you're about the same size as this guy. I'll give you a discounted price. So now what happens? I buy a custom-made suit for $1,000. I'm assuming that's probably what it costs. I buy a custom-made suit for $1,000. The guy tells me I can't. So now what do I do? I now come to him, and what do I say to him? I say to him, hey, do me a favor. Try to sell it. I said, okay. So I try to sell it. Says the Sman, the Shach. Two things happen here. Number one, I'm entitled to make, it's not just, you may think, well, how much money do I have to pay him? I say to him, I only want to pay you the price of the materials. So obviously that's not true, because it's materials plus labor. Doesn't matter what we just got a bill in my office for this company that decided to raise their labor rates. We had an oven that was broken. I'm not going to tell you how much it was disgusting. But what did I find out? They charge $175 an hour. I said, what are you, a lawyer? Just to sit there and to try to figure out what the problem was. And the first hour is $350. I got this bill. I'm like, I should have got a new oven. What's going on over here? Okay, they tell us about it before that. That's a different thing. So I'm entitled to whatever I consider to be my labor. So now what happens? I sell the suit instead of $1,000. I sell it for $800. Okay, so then the guy has to pay me $200. That's fine. That's fine. There's no question about that. That's what the Sman, the Shach say. I'm entitled to pay, but only the loss. Only the loss. I have to try to sell it. What? Yeah. So wait. That would mean, according to the Sman, the Shach, that it belongs to the, who does it belong to? The caterer. Really, the suit belongs to me. Now, do I have to, right? So I could certainly say, you don't have to pay for the suit, right? Well, like you just said, your case. What would happen if it didn't work out, right? The food got burnt. Everybody would agree that if the food got burnt, I'm not going to pay for the food. Did you serve me the 10 meals? No, you didn't serve the 10 meals because you burnt it. That's not, so that would agree. So all this basis, he says, maybe, according to the Shach, it belongs to the caterer. But then he says, Rav Zilberstein says, except you have to be a lumdus person. You have to be intellectually honest. Let's check other Meforshim on the side of the Shulchan Aruch. What does the Nesilas HaMishpat say, he says? He says, no. The Shulchan Aruch's case is only when I said to make this specific item. 1 second. And I'm paying not only for this. I have to pay for the time and effort. He says, so because I paid for the item already, right? Again, the difference between the Shach and the Sman, the Sivas HaMishpat is I own the suit now. The suit is mine. Do I have an obligation as the tailor to go find somebody else to? No. The Shach and the Sman says yes. You have an obligation now to try to sell the suit. You have an obligation to try to sell a Pesach program to somebody else. This is a big Shaila. If you remember, I think maybe I didn't discuss the specific case, right? Leva Torah question. A guy gets accepted to Leva Torah. He's coming. He paid the money. And now he calls me on, you know, whatever, August 10th, a few weeks before, a month before yeshiva starts. And he says, hey, sorry, Rabbi, but I got cold feet. I'm not coming to Israel for the year. So and he says, oh, and by the way, I want my money back. I paid $3,600 for, you know, registration. So I said, do you know what a non-refund policy, like, what do you want me to do? So what does he say to me? He says like this. Okay, I don't deserve the money back, but if you're able to fill the space, I want the money back. So what does the rabbi in Leva Torah say? I'm going to be able to fill your space, probably, because Leva Torah, who doesn't want to go to Leva Torah? But it's probably going to be with some loser. What do I mean? Who's looking for a yeshiva on August 10th? Right? It's got to be some guy with some story. Maybe. I mean, obviously, I know there are normal people also. But let's just say. So they'll find somebody, but it's not going to be the person that they want. That's a big shaila. This was the whole article Rabbi Jachter has. I think you could apply that article to what I'm saying now. I have an obligation. Do I have an obligation even to find somebody else? I don't know. The Pesach program was totally paid for. Right? Okay, so if the Pesach program is obviously much different than a yeshiva, I don't care who my guest is. It's still going to be some guy, you know, some Jewish family. Who cares? So the Nesivas HaMishpat says, no, the food essentially is owned by the Baal Simcha because it's like the suit. You go, no. You take the suit now and you find somebody to buy the suit. Not me. Doesn't have to do with me. Oh, except our case is different, right? Our case is much more fun because it was given away already. So comes along Rav Zilberstein, he says, I know, you're not happy with what I said. You're not happy. So he says like this. Think about the Baal Simcha. He goes, I want to bring you a raya that the Baal Simcha owns the food. Raya number one. I rented the hall. I picked the caterer. Again, we're assuming most halls, I don't know how it works. I think most halls in Israel, it comes with the caterer. Right? In America, yesh v'yesh. But I rented the hall and I picked the caterer, let's say. So it's my place. I own everything here. And that may be different than, right, remember, if you remember, I'm sure you remember, the Coca-Cola case? The two Coca-Cola cases. The Daniel Hartzin Coca-Cola case. Unfortunately, since I heard this year, not really this year, but since I heard this Rav, what did I tell him? I forgot his name was Chitas. I forgot what his name is now. Rav Chayat Taylor. So he is some rabbi, I don't know, he has a daily halacha. And, you know, 3-4 minute halacha and he has a picture of him and Ravad Yosef. So I'm just assuming. He's a smart. So he gave the case of, I go to a fancy wedding. I call it a fancy wedding because they have glass bottles. Ah, I love glass bottles. My kids know. I have glass bottles. I had a great spoof at Yeshivat Leva Torah. I saw the Purim spiel. So what was the whole thing they made fun of me about? Didn't bother me at all. I walk into Shir with 10 bottles of Coke Zero. And as I'm giving the shir, I'm like, as if it's just beer. Like, and it goes down and down and down. And okay, shkoyach, true. I have a problem. I have an addiction to Coke Zero. I'll admit it. My name is Daniel Hartzine and I have a Coke addiction. No, sorry. Sorry. Coke Zero. No, sorry. That didn't sound good. Take it off while you tell her. I just wanted to make sure everybody was still up. So, sorry. So, now I don't even know where we were. This is really bad. So I was saying, what was the case? Oh, the Coke case. So now I go to the wedding, and they have the glass bottles. So they have a lot of glass bottles on the table. So now what do I do before I leave? I want to take one home for the road. Right? One of the greatest things, put a nice glass bottle in the refrigerator. Ah, Kovod Shabbos Kodesh. What do you think? Can you take a soda out of the wedding? Who do I have to ask is my question. Who owns the bottle of soda? What? This is the same question. No? What? He's not paying a ball for a person. What are you saying again?
Ball Simcha is paying for your meal. He's paying 50 shekels for your seat.
Yeah.
He knows you get unlimited food. It's
not
like you're paying for one bottle, any bottle.
So if the Baal Simcha says I can take the Coke, I can take it? He owns it, you're saying? Okay, so says Yonatan Roy, late boy, that he thinks the Baal Simcha owns it. The Baal Simcha owns it. Does anybody think the caterer owns it?
I think after it leaves the whatever caterer owns it, then it's already the Baal Simcha. The caterer from before can change it, deliver it, does
it. So I actually heard this case that I'm doing now, I'm taking the case of Rav Zilberstein before I know I'm just like very ADD, I'm going to different cases. I heard the case live from Rav, and in that shear, that was the chilek that he made. Rav Zilberstein made the chilek of, was the food out of the way? Let's say, I'm sorry, but just pause on my case. Let's go back to our original case. What would happen if you have the following case? Okay? All the food went out already. Right, all the waiters are walking around and they're giving out manot. That's all they do. There are some caterers who are very fancy. I remember back in my wedding, we don't do really weddings anymore. Weddings and bar mitzvahs, so we have another company that does it for us. But when you have like a wedding, so you literally have a train. If you do it, there are two ways of doing it. One is I'm in charge of these tables. And then there's an idea of having a train. Train where you just have people with the manot. Everybody's got 2 steaks. Boom, boom, you go to each table. Here. And this way you fill up very quickly. Fill up, right? So now I'm doing this in a crazy way, and then all of a sudden at some point somebody says to me, whoa, stop. Nobody needs meals anymore. We're done. Right? You ever have that at the Shabbos table where, you know, mom's taking out, Ima's taking out the appetizers. Go. You know, you have a Baruch Hashem, a lot of people over, and then at some point the husband's like, wait, honey, you know, we're done. That's it. She's like, oh, I made, you know, too many desserts, whatever. So in that case, says Rav Zilberstein, once the food comes out of the hall, it's owned by the Baal Simcha. The only taina that you can make is that when it comes to soda, maybe it's different. Yonatan, why is it different when it comes to soda? What's the difference between soda and a mana? Could use it again. I taina, so Rabbi Hayat wants to taina like this. He wants to say, I wasn't making fun of you. Just Friday people. He wants to taina like this. And by the way, I saw this at the Simcha I was at this week. Very interesting. Not the one I was at last week with the great, 2 weeks ago, because they had just bottles of soda. But, you know, they had big bottles. But here's what I saw. I was very surprised by this. On the table, there probably was, let's say there were 10 people at the table. I think there were at least 10 sodas, okay? 3 people had soda. Their generation is changing, probably when you guys get my age, older, I don't think there'll be soda anymore. I think there won't be soda anymore. Nobody at the table, especially the Israelis. I was surprised. But the Israelis, they were like, they were like, Shlicha, Yishlichem, me soda? You know, like, oh, stop it. You know, they're having, that's what they're having. Yishlichem, limon? Okay, fine. Nobody's having real soda. So why does the caterer put out 10 sodas when those people don't want it? It looks nice. He knows that, and it happens to be, it was a real big Yetzirah, because we were sitting at this table. Okay? We were sitting at this table. And right here was the refrigerator with the big Coke name on it. It was very, very hard for me not to just... So at the table next to us, let's say we were at this table, the table next to us, the guy was like, he just walked in and started taking... And he was screaming at the table, who wants this? He didn't do anything wrong. That's mutter, I'm not saying. But I could go ahead and put it away. I could put it back. So therefore, the taina is that the soda is actually owned by the caterer. You have to ask the caterer permission. And by the way, not only do you have to ask the caterer permission, it's not enough to ask the waiter at your table. Why? What do you think the waiter at the table is going to say? Of course you can take whatever you want. Why? I want kesef. In American weddings, you don't tip the waiters. In Israeli weddings, they're all waiting for you to give money. Like, this guy was all over me the whole time. He was like, Coke Zero, Coke Zero, Coke Zero. You know, Captain goes, unfortunately, when we went to the dancing, I had 2 Coke Zeros open. And when I came back, they were gone. I said, Maka, because we're fancy, you know, we have to take everything off the table. And then we do the, I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. I really like, terrible. But of course, he's going to say yes. Or Aaron Soloveitchik's famous idea is like, well, do you have the authority to make that decision? You can't, you know, obviously if you call a customer service number and they say, yes, you can keep the item, they have that authority. But you can't necessarily go to somebody and they say, oh, yeah, you could, you're on a plane. And the flight attendant, you say to the flight attendant, please, do you mind if I take the life vest with me home? And she's like, oh, you're a cute kid. I don't know if she has the authority to say that. It's very expensive. I don't know, whatever. Not for now. We once had that in Yeshiva, by the way. Want to hear a good story? Terrible. Years and years ago, they got a call from El Al. This kid was really smart. He stole the life vest. He was a troubled kid. He stole the life vest, okay? But he stole it from his own seat. Duh. So they went on the plane. They looked at 34D. They saw the guy's name. His contact number was the yeshiva. They called the yeshiva. They go, hi, this and this guy stole the life vest. So they called him, and he's like, yeah, I took it. And then he was like, I thought you were allowed to take it. It's in plastic. I thought plastic means you're allowed to take it. Like, he gives the whole story. Like, so we told him, you have 2 choices. Get in a cab now and go and return it. They said they weren't going to press charge. It's very expensive. Or you can buy it for 1,500 shekel. You know, like some crazy thing. Fine. Sorry. Let me go back. I apologize that I've been going in many different ways. But it shows you that this is really halacha l'maisa. So I bought the hall. I bought all these things. And therefore, anything that you brought to the hall, you brought these 300 meals, they're my meals. I don't care that you're making them in the kitchen. They're my meals. And therefore, I'm the one who'd be zoichet to that mitzvah. That's my mitzvah. It's my food. And if I decide, it's my location. I rented it out. Yeah.
If as a caterer, you decide,
I'm going to get to you. That's a very good question. We'll get to you in a second. What?
And then you're not putting it out.
So if the caterer did not put something out, I actually had this at a personal simcha where the caterer came to me, very mechubad, and she said to me, I just want to tell you, it was actually potatoes. It's funny that you say that. The potatoes have a strange smell to them. I think this happens a lot when you make something fresh. You have to know when to cover it. If you cover it right away when it's hot and you put it in the refrigerator, it's very likely it could spoil. So she said, I must have made a mistake and it wasn't properly whatever. It doesn't taste good. But I'm telling you now that you're going to get a discount at the end of the night because it was like a shmorg. It was not at your wedding. It was at Aaron's wedding. At Aaron's wedding, not wedding, sorry. Bar mitzvah. You didn't get married yet. No. Correct. So they gave us a little bit off, right? By the same caterer. So that's number two. Number three, says Rav Zilberstein, based on the Sefer Mishpat, a kinyan was made, says Rav Zilberstein. What do you mean a kinyan was made? A deposit. So we know that this is actually very apropos to Shloshim Yom Kodem Achag. We're going to do something very cool. A lot of people don't. Some people do this. Some people don't do this. I wonder if Sfaradim are do this. You know, Mechirat Chametz. I don't know. Is this a Sfaradi thing or just an Ashkenaz thing? We like to sell our Chametz because we pretend like we are so rich and we need, you know, we have so much in our house, right? So we sell our Chametz. Okay, maybe it's here for another time. Should we be selling our Chametz? Not for now. But okay, we sell our Chametz. So when we go to Rabagna, we don't sell our Chametz. Don't make the mistake and think we sell the Chametz to Rabagna. Why is that not true? Because Rabagna's not a guy. Right, he's selling it on our behalf. We don't know whoever the guy is. Right, and famously in the Teaneck area, there was a guy by the name of Joe Brown. Joe Brown, he actually passed away. He was the famous. He used to sell with Rabbi Willig and many other rabbis. So it probably is. Rabbi Agno probably doesn't even know because it's even he goes through the Rabbi. He actually doesn't know the Rabbi. I think it goes with Rabbi Davidovich. It doesn't matter anyway. So you'll notice that he does. We do a kinyan, a very simple kinyan. We lift the pen. But if Rav Agno was actually selling it to the guy, they do all these kinyanim. Says Rav Zilberstein, the central kinyan we're doing, says the Chassam Sofer, is called Simtuta. Simtuta is a kinyan lahalacha, even if it makes no sense, because I made a kinyan on what? There's no food. Guess what? The food hasn't been made yet. The food is not going to be made for 3 months from now. The food, let's say it's an American wedding, it's not going to be made for 6 months. The bar mitzvah, I scheduled the bar mitzvah a year before, 2 years. I didn't even think about food. Says the halacha, the Chassam Sofer says, it's good enough. I'm paying for what will become, and therefore, that's my food. I have a deposit on it. It's my food. What? Everybody gives a deposit. No caterer would do any job without a deposit. That's what he tied us. Okay, are you ready for this? Rav Zildjian says, and this is so intellectually honest, I know what I said. I know I gave all these rayas, but I'm wrong. Rav Zildjian says at the end, I'm wrong. You know who owns the food? The caterer owns the food because of what Goldberg says. He says, why? He says, it's the caterer's mitzvah. Why? Because I'll prove to you that he owns the food. What if he burnt the 10 manot? What if he burnt 10 manot? It's on him. What if he forgot the potatoes? It's on him. I'm not paying for that food. I was once at a wedding. I was wondering if I should tell my friend this. And the caterer got cheapy McCheapy. He must have, I don't know why he ran out of food. So he decided to cut the steaks in half. I got to my table. I said, look. So I said to the waiter, what happened here? So he told us, this guy, Nebuch, he had too many people. Now, I don't know how he's going to charge him, but Rav Zilberstein says the caterer owns the food because if he does something to the food, you don't pay for it. The Baal Simcha owns the food that was served, or maybe once it leaves the room, once it leaves the, from the kitchen, once it leaves the kitchen, maybe. This is the other famous question about Coca-Cola. A lot of Coca-Cola, right? They used to have a very good deal. Not a deal, a raffle. You opened up the bottle of Coke Zero, of Coke, and it had a number. And you looked up the number, and you could win 100,000 shekel. So, of course, who won the 100,000? Obviously, only one person wins. Who wins it? Baal Simcha. Not a Baal Simcha. At a Simcha, a Chasen and Meir Sharem, of all places. It must have been Pepsi then, because they don't drink Coke in the Charediville. And the guy's so excited, he opens the thing, it's the number. I won. And everybody's dancing with this guy. He's not the Baal Simcha. Everybody's dancing with him. The Baal Simcha says, why are you dancing with Yankif? He says, Yankif Shlemi, he won it. He says, give me that cap, that's my cap. What are you doing? It's my Simcha. You have no right to this. It's mine. It's a commotion now, a little fighting, a little pushing, a little shoving. Who comes out? The caterer, what's going on? What's going on here? Tells him the story. He says, give me the cap. It's my cap. Another of Zilberstein child. What? With what? Say again. Oh, Yonatan remembers another of Zilberstein case. Thank you very much, son. Thank you for listening to me when we learn together. The fish case, correct me if I'm wrong. It's like Yosef Makor Shabbos, except a better story than Yosef Makor Shabbos. What happens? I go to the fish store before Shabbos, right? And wait. What are you giving out at the end? That's not really what happened. What happened? I say, unfortunately, I don't have a lot of money, and I said I want to get a nice fish for Shabbos. Basar v'dam v'chol matamim. Give me the cheapest fish. Mushed. Whatever. I don't know. Mushed, it's called. Fish. The guy says, no, you can't come at 3 o'clock on a Friday and expect mushed. We don't have any mushed left. That's all that. But you know what we have? Pilaplayan. The best, the most expensive fish that there is. Anybody know what that is? I don't know. Rabbi Slifkin would say swordfish. So Shiloh, you could use swordfish. Okay, whatever. Some fish that everybody... The guy says, what am I going to do? I want to be Mechabed the Shabbos. I'm going to pay more money. He pays more money. He goes home. He says, honey, don't be mad at me. I paid more money. But she's like, okay, no Shabbos. Chabad Shabbos Kodesh. Oh, sorry. You're right. Sorry. He comes home and he tells the story. Okay. And what happens? So when the guy says, I never had a fancy fish like this. How do you eat it? He goes, you know what? You paid so much money for the fish. I'll cut it up for you. A nice pusot. As he starts to cut it up. Right. And, Weisenheimer. Good. You're right. That's Rav Zilberstein's question. And he opens it up. And what does he find inside? Pearls? What? Diamonds, whatever you like, he finds in there. Baseball card, I don't know. Whatever. Coke Zero bottle. So what happened? Yeah, but you didn't tell the good part of the story. Because the good part of the story is that the whole zchus that he got this because he decided to pay more for the fish. Anyway, the shaila was, who owns it? This is actually very, very interesting. Do you remember the answer to the question? What? But Wolf tied us, it wasn't a Kenyan. Why Wolf? He said he didn't buy it yet. What would happen in the following case? You may taina that because he cut it, that's a Kenyan. But if I just said to the guy in the back, you go to Zol B'Shefa, and you say to the guy, can you give me, four entrecots? And they even cut it for you. But he could resell it very easily, cut. And then I said, what? And I'm on the phone with my wife. I go, oh, honey, I got the four entrecots that you wanted. She says, hey, dummy. That's a dummy. I told you this morning, I got the entrecots. Oh, he goes, slicha, ani rotzeh chatzot. I said, we didn't really. Here, that's the question of the Kenyan. Is the Kenyan only when I buy it? Can I run out of the store now? Probably I could. If I called my wife and I told her the story that you just said, and she says, are you crazy? You bought swordfish? We can't afford swordfish. You're crazy. Or she says to me, honey, I told you we're going out for lunch. The guy says, so it could be because I cut it already. Oh. Very good. Rav Zilberstein said that because the fish was weighed, once it's weighed, it's ki'ilu like a Kenyan. It's not simduta. It's not chasam slave, it's chimduta. Okay. Yeah. So who? So then the owner of the store comes and he says, that's my fish. The cutter says it's my fish. Why? I think at the end of the day, didn't he say that the guy behind the counter gets it? The owner gets it? I think the Shiloh was, why isn't it considered to be? We talked about Hashavas Aveda. There's no Hashavas Aveda because there definitely was Yush. But the guy that bought it, he didn't expect it to be his. That was, I remember what the Shiloh was. You think it was, I think he wrote that it was a Machlekes. Which one of the three? It's not as simple as the case that we said about the soda at all. It's not as simple as the soda. Furthermore. Yeah, you're an evil person. Go ahead.
Is he expecting all of them to be open?
Wait, I opened it because I want to see what's under there. Yeah, so.
It doesn't matter. I just opened it. I was
very good. Right, let's say I'm a guy. I hate this caterer. I hate the caterer. Let's say I'm the Baal Simcha. Right, I think I must have told the story before because I was once at a Simcha that we catered. This is a terrible story. And it's the end of the Simcha. It was a bris. And all of a sudden I see the grandma. She's taking the leftover bagels. Which she can take the leftover bagels, no problem. It's hers, or her daughter's. And then she starts taking all the, I don't know if you know, like in America when they do a nice bris, so they have like bears and all these nice train, a choo-choo train going around. She's taking everything. She's taking all the paper. And I said, well, what are you doing? She goes, what do you mean? This is mine. It was my simcha. I go, no, first of all, the bears we use all the time. She goes, I didn't know that. I said, and all the paper goods. I bought a lot of extra paper goods. You're not allowed to take it. It's not yours. So what if I went to the Simcha, and I hate the caterer, I got into a fight with him, so what do? I keep asking for sodas, and I just open them and throw them at it. I don't know, it's a good question, I'm not sure. Correct. Rav Zilberstein Paskind, in our case, in a moment we'll see, he says that the caterer does own the food, he gets to do the zchus, the Baal Simcha doesn't get the food because it didn't come out yet and it wasn't served yet, and it's with him. It's his mitzvah. So now, here's the follow-up. The Baal Simcha hears the case out, and it's about to be, I don't know, Paskin, and obviously in Dionys, they don't have the gavel in there. And he's about to explain the whole case. Wait! Don't Paskin yet. Don't Paskin. Like, what do you mean? He says, I want to do Pshara. So if you remember from 2 weeks ago, we discussed Pshara. We also discussed Pshara. We discussed another Rabbi Jachter, Rabbi Reese. Rabbi Reese has an article on this. What? But you understand what he's losing? He's not losing that he's going to have to pay a lot of money. This is like such a beautiful case. So he says, let's do Pshara. Pshara usually means, doesn't always mean split it 50-50. But he says, I want to pay for something. Let me pay for 5 of the meals. This is such a beautiful story that Jews are fighting over this and wasting the time of the day. But in any case, says Rav Zilberstein, you can't do Pshara now. We asked whether Pshara is l'chachila b'diyah, but it doesn't matter in this case. I want to do Pshara because I want to have the schus. He says you can't do Pshara or after a mitzvah was already done. It doesn't make any sense. You can't sell a mitzvah that was done already. Maybe you could sell mitzvahs. You know, they do that in shuls all the time. Where they get up and he goes, coin, $40, that you could do. That's before the mitzvah. But once I've done a mitzvah, you can't resell the mitzvah. Say, oh, by the way, I went to the Kotel and Davin for you. Give me $100. No, you can't do that. You could ask for Yisachar Zvulun is the whole concept of I will do a future mitzvah of learning on your behalf. That's something different. And how it works is very interesting. Rav Asher Weiss has a beautiful shiur in it. So yeah. It used to be that in Hilchos, Asher we also gave, in Hilchos Meiser Ksafim, there used to be a time where people would pay for the schus. Let's say Nebuch, a guy can't pay for the bris. So you come to him, he says, listen, I'll give you 5,000 shekel, I want you to have bagels, I want you to have a nice bris. And then, but I'm not giving you tztaka. I want to be the tzaddik. That's what they used to do. They used to walk down the kala to the chuppah. Right? The schus of the mitzvah. That was like you actually bought something. But you're correct, it could be. So the raya, and we'll end with this story, the raya that's brought by Rav Zilberstein that you can't buy a mitzvah is the Gemara in Sota. The Gemara in Sota on Daf Chaf Aleph says the following thing. I have the Gemara here. I'll read you the Gemara. The Gemara takes a pasuk from Shir HaShirim. I actually used this pasuk a few weeks ago in a shir that I gave. Ma'im Rabim lo yuchol lechvot et ha'ava. I think there's a song like that. No, this is the Gemara in Sota. Everyone says that? Oh, yeah? So, okay, Shkoyach, he was Messiah, Meseches Kedushin. So, Shkoyach, what does it mean? So, Mayim Rabim, and the Forshim say, Mayim Rabim is the Goyim, we have such a love between the Rabbanu Shalom. I think I spoke about this in Parshas Tzaveh, that finally when the Rabbanu Shalom says, I want you back, that was what the dedication of the Mishkan was. I want Korbanos, I want you back. I was Mechaper, nothing could break it down. But then the Gemara continues, sorry, the Pasuk continues, and speaks about something negative. It speaks about boz yavazenu lo, that it's going to be something negative. So he says, what's the negative thing over here? So he says like this, let me tell you the story. What does it mean that a person will be condemned? Ma boz yavoz lo. Amar ula, kamashalan achi ezri, ki Rabbi Yochanan dishnai. I'll tell you the story. Elik hilo. He says, maybe it's a story about Rabbi Yochanan, the house of the Nasi. The Nasi supported him so they could study Torah. That's what we're talking about. No, he says, this is the story of Hillel. He says, the Hillel, d'chze isi d'adami, amar Hillel, this Savana was his brother, achi, he was his brother. Hillel asak b'toira, v'shavana was, he was a business guy, right? Yeah, he was the Rav, and he was the brother, was a business guy. At some point, Savana realized, this is not a good profession that I have. And he goes to his brother Hillel Hazakein, the famous Hillel, and he says, you know what? I just did this huge business deal. I just made $100,000, 100,000 ruble, 100,000 kosak, whatever. I want to give you the money. But I want the schus of your learning for all these years. So the Gemara says, that's what it's talking about. That's the pasuk. Shavana Azak, but Yisak, Lewisoyf, Amr Le, Taigna over Uliflig, Yasa Basko, Vyamir, Yasa Basko said, Imitain Ish, Et Kol Hon Beisel, Vigomer. Oh, that's what you're talking about, right? From the Gemara, very good. Right, it was a pasuk. Sorry, it was a pasuk in Shir and Shir. If I was to give everything, I'm not. Torah is the most important profession, right? That's basically what it's saying here. Very good. That's the end of the Gemara in Kedusha. So everything is there's nothing more important than the profession of Torah, because one day you're not going to have a job, but you always will have Torah, and that's the idea. You can't buy a mitzvah that was done already. Zishachar Zvulun is fine, but the mitzvah was done already. There's no zechuyas that can be given out before, and even though this guy wants to do the mitzvah so badly, he can't do the mitzvah. So my earning of money, my earning of Torah, my earning of this, so if a person wants it, it's too late. You can't do that. You can't buy my Torah. Again, there's something unique to Torah itself, whatever, but anyway. So Yotzei Dvareinu, just so we could summarize all the different cases that we had today. Zilberstein paskins that in our case, the zchut of the 10 meals goes to the Baal Simcha because it was in his kitchen. Even if he doesn't own the kitchen, it doesn't matter. The caterer, what did I say? Thank you, the caterer. Wow, too much cooks here. It goes to the Baal Simcha. No, goes to the caterer. Goes to the caterer, not the Baal Simcha. Even though we thought that according to the Shach, that might be that way. According to the Sma, it may be that way. Based on what the Shulchan Aruch said, and the Mishnah does not interpret it that way. And he says no, it belongs to the Baal Simcha because the Haraya. If the food was spoiled, if there's anything wrong with the food, I would not have to pay for it. Just like I would not have to pay for the suit if it was damaged. Of course not. It's the wrong color. I didn't order this color. All these different things, there would be no question about it. And therefore, the mitzvah belongs to him. But once I have a mitzvah, I can't now buy the mitzvah off of somebody. If you did the mitzvah already, you're done. Whether or not you could actually buy mitzvahs is a whole different shaila in itself. How exactly that works is a very interesting topic nonetheless. And that got us to the other topics that we discussed. The Coca-Cola topic, my pet peeve, why I've not taken many Coke Zeros out of places. I just want to tie in one thing, that there's something called Minig Medina, maybe that's not right. Just like a person goes to a hotel, maybe it's okay for him to take something little out of the hotel, breakfast. Why? Because everybody knows that that's what people do. Everybody knows. It's like, so it's, what? Right. So I had this discussion actually in two different hotels I was at in Israel, and I asked the general managers, and both of them said to me, "Yeah, we know we have a sign that says that's just for chazers, but you could take a little bit. We didn't ever stop. There's no problem. But listen, we don't serve you lunch anyway. You know, it's not like a program. You go on the Pesach program. They serve breakfast, and I don't know if that. Okay, one could argue there's a sign there. It says what it says, right? So." Maybe here one can tie, that it's like a minimum. Everybody takes one soda out. Come on. Or one saying, no, nobody takes one soda out. That's not true. You're not allowed to take anything out of the sim. I'm sorry. You have no rishus, right? That's that he wants to tie, and it's owned by the caterer, not by anybody else. Again, I obviously hold it. If you ask the caterer and said, listen, I'm driving home. I'm very nervous. I'm very, very, very tired. If I take a Coke with me, it'll keep me up. You think the guy's going to say, the guy's like, can you imagine if the guy said, no, you absolutely not. You can't take anything out of here. And I'm going to call the Baal Simcha and be like, and by the way, he just lost my son's wedding because I'm not going to let him, you know, it's bad business, but okay, whatever. You would still have to ask for shows, it doesn't matter. And the case, I didn't tell you, a case of the opening of the bottle, so I think we paskin that it's, once it was brought out, and because it was a 1.5 liter bottle of soda, they're not going to get that back anyway. So in that case, it did not belong to the person that opened it. It belongs to the Baal Simcha, a different case, not to the caterer because it went out already. This would be consistent with Rav Zilberstein's case. I just want to end off by saying, I think that if the guy that thought he won, if he was going around the whole night and opening every single bottle of soda, I think he would be chayav to pay if there would have been leftovers. And because of him, he that could be a problem. Obviously, just like if he went into a store and did that, right? He was looking for, I don't know, there used to be, Yonatan, correct me if I'm wrong here, there was some sort of thing that they had once, I remember, where you had if you spelled out the word iPhone, you won an iPhone. You know, you would open up the bottle of soda and have the... So obviously, whatever, one of the letters, nobody ever had. Everybody got every other letter. There was one P, you know, for iPhone. There was only one, right? So now I walk into a makolet, and I secretly open up every single bottle to see if I could find a P, and then I just close. Of course, I have to pay for it. I lo shate did that. Like, okay, nobody wants to buy a soda that's open. That's why they have the caps on it. That's what I think. So again, I think it's a very, very interesting case. Shkoyach.